Okay.
安理会有一项规则。
The Security Council has a rule.
只要五个国家里有一个说不。
As long as one of the five countries says no.
其他188个国家的投票全部失效。
All votes from the remaining 188 countries have been invalidated.
这个世界有它自己的逻辑。
This world has its own logic.
我们帮你看清楚。
We will help you to see clearly.
欢迎来到地球公司，解码联合国。
Welcome to Earth Company, the United Nations. We discussed how the UN was written in 51 days of negotiations.
上一集
In today's episode, we focus on one of the most controversial veto powers in the United Nations.
我们聊了联合国是怎么在51天的谈判里被写出来的。
It is the most criticized thing in the entire UN system.
今天这一集，我们把镜头对准联合国里最具争议的一个设计——否决权。
But it is also the most difficult thing to change.
它是整个联合国机制里被批评最多的东西。
Let's start with the basics of logic.
但也是最难被改掉的东西。
Because many people still have a vague impression of the veto power.
我们先把基本逻辑说清楚。
I haven't really figured out how it works.
因为很多人对一票否决权的印象还是非常模糊的。
The UN Security Council, often referred to as the UNSC, is the only UN body with the power to adopt resolutions that are legally binding. What does legally binding mean?
根本还没有真正搞清楚它是怎么运作的。
That is to say,
联合国安全理事会，简称安理会。是联合国里唯一有权通过具有法律约束力决议的机构。什么叫约束力？
In terms of international law, the resolution of the Security Council,
也就是说
Member states are obligated to comply with
安理会的决议，在国际法意义上
Like UN resolutions,
成员国是有义务遵守的。
That is only for suggestion.
不像联合国大会的决议。
The Security Council has 15 member states.
那个只有建议。
Five of them are permanent members.
性质。
Permanent seat.
安理会有15个成员国。
Never change America.
其中五个是常任理事国。
Russia.
永久席位。
China,
永远不换，美国
United Kingdom,
俄罗斯
France,
中国
The other 10 are non-permanent members of the Security Council.
英国
The resolution is adopted by the General Assembly on a two-year rotating basis.
法国
At least 9 votes are required.
另外十个是非常任理事国
But this is the key.
由联合国大会选举产生
Each of the five permanent members has one veto right.
两年一届轮流做通过一项决议
As long as one of the permanent members votes against it.
需要至少9票赞成
No matter how the other 14 members vote,
但这里是关键。
This resolution.
五个常任理事国每人都有一票否决权。
It cannot be rejected by a single vote.
只要有一个常任理事国投反对票。
Everything is so straightforward.
不管其他14个成员怎么投。
Now you understand the meaning of clever.
这个决议。
Now I want you to really feel the weight of this.
就无法通过，一票否决。
From 1945 to today, the veto right.
一切就是这么直接。
It has been used more than 300 times.
现在你理解了机制。
What is this concept?
下面我想让你真正感受一下这件事的分量。
On average, it happens about once every 2 months.
从1945年到今天，否决权一共被使用了超过300次，300多次。
So let's see where these 300 times have occurred.
这是什么概念？
During the Cold War,
平均下来，差不多每两个月就会发生一次。
The main user of the Soviet Union's nuclear weapons was from 1946 to 1969.
那么，我们来看看这300多次都发生在了哪里。
Over the past 20 years,
冷战时期,
the Soviet Union used its veto power more than 100 times.
苏联是否决权的主要使用者，光是1946年到1969年,
about 5 times a year.
这20多年间,
most of the time,
苏联就动用了超过100次否决权。
The Soviet Union vetoed new member states supported by the Western camp.
平均每年将近五次。
Apply to join the United Nations and any resolutions that may be used against the interests of the Soviet Union.
大部分时候
Once I bow to America,
苏联否决的是西方阵营支持的新成员国。
In the early years of the Cold War, the United States used it very little.
申请加入联合国，以及任何可能被用来针对苏联利益的决议。
Because the majority of votes in the United Nations usually stood with the United States at that time.
到了美国那边呢？
However, with the increasing number of developing countries joining the United Nations General Assembly and the Security Council, the wind direction is starting to change.
冷战早期，美国用的很少。
The frequency of the US vetoing resolutions is gradually increasing.
因为当时联合国的多数票通常站在美国这边。
After the Cold War,
但随着第三世界国家大量加入
the pattern of vetoes has changed.
联合国大会和安理会的风向开始发生变化。
The dissolution of the Soviet Union, Russia inherited the Soviet Union's seat.
美国的否决权使用频率逐渐上升。
However, the usage frequency has decreased significantly.
冷战结束之后
In fact, the United States frequently uses its veto power in the Middle East.
否决权的格局发生了变化。
The main pattern of using the veto power today is as follows.
苏联解体，俄罗斯继承了苏联的席位。
The issue of the Middle East is often accompanied by the veto of the United States.
但使用频率一度下降了很多。
Regarding issues related to the Russian periphery,
反而是美国在中东议题上频繁动用否决权。
You can see Russia's veto.
今天，否决权的主要使用格局是这样的。
Issues related to China's core interests.
中东相关议题经常看到美国的否决票。
Sometimes you can see China and Russia jointly veto.
涉及俄罗斯周边地区的议题。
This pattern clearly depicts a map.
就可以看到俄罗斯的否决。
Where does the veto power lie?
涉及中国核心利益的议题。
This indicates that this is the core interest boundary of a major country.
有时候会看到中俄联合否决。
Well,
这个使用模式非常清楚地画出了一张地图。
Oh, Okay.
否决权落在哪里？
Now we're getting to the heart of the matter.
就说明那里是某个大国的核心利益边界。
Whenever we talk about the veto, there will always be someone who says this design is unfair.
好。
What right do five countries have to decide the rules for everyone? These rules should be abolished.
现在到了这一集最核心的部分。
This is a very normal reaction.
每次聊到否决权。
Actually, before I really understood the veto power,
总会有人说，这个设计太不公平了。
I think so too.
五个国家凭什么能否决所有人？这个规则应该被废除掉。
But if you think further,
这个反应非常正常。
You will find a problem that is a bit uncomfortable.
其实在我第一次认真了解否决权之前，
Nullify the veto.
我也是这么想的。
Then,
但是如果你往深处想一步，
Let's do a hypothetical experiment.
你会发现一个让人有点不舒服的问题。
If the negotiators in 1945 had not had the power to veto,
废掉否决权。
The resolution of the Security Council.
然后呢？
By simple majority or two-thirds.
我们来做一个假设的实验。
Most can be executed.
假设1945年的谈判者没有设计否决权。
What will happen?
安理会的决议。
Would the Soviet Union agree to join such a United Nations?
按照简单多数或者三分之二。
It is almost impossible for the UN to function without the veto power of the major powers.
多数通过就可以执行。
By passing resolutions that were detrimental to the Soviet Union,
那会发生什么？
Even authorize military action against the Soviet Union.
苏联会同意加入这样的联合国吗？
Stalin is not the kind of person who would put himself in such a risky situation.
几乎不可能，一个没有否决权保护的联合国。意味着西方国家可以在安理会凑够票数。
But if the Soviet Union didn't join,
通过任何对苏联不利的决议。
We are back on the old path of the international alliance.
甚至授权对苏联盟友采取军事行动。
When a major power is absent from an international institution, its actual influence is extremely limited.
斯大林不是会把自己暴露在这种风险下的人。
Further, I want to think about,
那如果苏联不加入呢？
Even if the United Nations were established without the power of veto,
我们就回到了国际联盟的老路。
Once the Security Council passes a resolution that a major power cannot accept,
一个大国缺席的国际机构实际影响力极为有限。
What will this big country do?
更进一步想。
Simple.
就算联合国在没有否决权的情况下建立起来了。
Either exit.
一旦安理会通过了某个大国无法接受的决议。
Ignore it.
这个大国会怎么做？
And a major power withdrawing or ignoring the UN is actually less able to do than a UN with veto power.
很简单。
So, do you think the designers of the veto power
要么退出
The real choice is not between a UN with a veto power and a UN without veto power.
要么无视。
However, there is a veto power.
而一个大国退出或者无视的联合国，比一个有否决权的联合国能做的事情其实更少。
At the same time, both the United States and China are members of the United Nations, and neither has the power to veto.
所以你看。
a United Nations that can be walked away from at any time by major powers.
否决权的设计者
The choice between the two
面对的真实选项并不是有否决权的联合国和没有否决权的联合国之间的选择。
Therefore, in 1945, the negotiator chose the former.
而是有否决权。
This is not because they think the veto is a good design.
同时，大国都在里面的联合国和没有否决权。
Instead, they believed that this was the lowest cost that could be achieved in order to allow international cooperation to exist under those conditions.
大国随时可以走人的联合国。
Okay.
这两者之间的选择。
But just saying that.
于是1945年的谈判者选了前者。
It seems that the United Nations has no way to act in the face of the veto.
这不是因为他们认为否决权是一个好设计。
In fact, it is not a mechanism that is rarely mentioned in the UN system.
而是因为他们认为这是一个在当时条件下让国际合作得以存在的最低代价。
After the issue with the veto power, a patch was released.
好。
It is called the Resolution on Unity and Cooperation.
但光是这样说
Ying Wen, Ming Yu 19 for peace.
好像联合国在否决权面前就完全没有任何办法了。
The logic behind the resolution passed by the United Nations General Assembly in 1950 was as follows.
其实不是，联合国体系里有一个很少会被提到的机制。
If the Security Council is paralyzed due to vetoes by major powers,
是在否决权出现问题之后打上去的一个补丁。
Unable to fulfill the responsibility of maintaining international peace and security.
它叫做团结共进决议。
The United Nations General Assembly can convene an emergency special session.
英文名 Uniting for Peace.
Discuss the proposed agenda.
在1950年由联合国大会通过。这个补丁的逻辑是这样的。
And make recommendations to member states.
如果安理会因为大国否决而陷入瘫痪
including advice on how to use violence when necessary.
无法履行维护国际和平与安全的职责
Please note that the recommendations made by the United Nations General Assembly are not legally binding.
联合国大会可以召开紧急特别会议
But he has a strong moral foundation.
就同一议题进行讨论。
How did this mechanism come about?
并向成员国提出建议。
1950.
包括必要时使用武力的建议。
The Korean War broke out.
注意，联合国大会的建议没有约束力。
At this critical juncture.
但它有强大的道义分量。
The Soviet Union is boycotting the Security Council.
那这个机制是怎么诞生的？
The reason is the competition for seats in China.
1950年，朝鲜战争爆发。
Soviet demand.
就在这个节骨眼上。
After the United Nations recognized the People's Republic of China, it announced that it would boycott the meeting.
苏联正在抵制安理会。
As a result, the Security Council, without the presence of the Soviet Union,
原因是中国席位之争。
Passed a resolution authorizing the United Nations to intervene militarily in North Korea.
苏联要求。
This was the only time in the history of the United Nations that a resolution was passed authorizing military action against a major power bloc.
联合国承认中华人民共和国，遭到拒绝后宣布抵制会议。
And that's why he was able to pass.
结果安理会在苏联缺席的情况下
It was entirely because the Soviet Union was absent.
通过了授权联合国军事干预朝鲜的决议。
After the Soviet Union realized this,
这是联合国历史上唯一一次授权对一个大国阵营采取军事行动的决议。
I immediately understood a principle.
而他之所以能通过
Being absent is more dangerous than voting against.
完全是因为苏联不在场。
From then on,
苏联意识到这件事之后
The Soviet Union never missed a vote in the Security Council.
立刻明白了一个道理。
This itself indicates a very interesting phenomenon.
缺席比投否决票更危险。
The existence of the veto power
从那之后
changed the way of doing things.
苏联再也没有缺席过任何一次安理会投票。
In order to maintain their veto power, major powers
这件事本身就说明了一个非常有趣的现象。
Must remain in the Security Council.
否决权的存在
and remain in the Security Council
改变了大国的行为方式
The term itself means participation and dialogue
本身大国为了保住否决权
So, from a certain point of view
必须留在安理会
The veto is not just a key
而留在安理会
It's more like a rope
本身就意味着参与和对话。
Bring the great powers to the same table.
所以说，从某种意义上来看
，Well，
否决权不只是一把锁。
Of course, we also need to honestly acknowledge that he will have times when he fails.
它更像是一根绳子。
There are some moments that are not allowed.
把大国绑在了同一张桌子上
Make the Security Council completely unable to act And the price of this inability is life
当然我们也要诚实地看到它会有失效的时候
1994
有一些时刻否决权
Render in a 100 day period
让安理会完全无法动作。
In the genocide that killed approximately 80 people, the Security Council was almost silent.
而这个无法动作的代价是以生命来计算的。
At that time, the commander of the UN peacekeeping force in Rwanda, Darrell, constantly sent warnings to the headquarters of the United Nations.
1994年
Require authorization to take action.
卢旺达在那场历时100天
However, the Security Council is often held back by the political considerations of major powers.
造成大约80万人死亡的种族灭绝中安理会几乎是失语的
None of the permanent members.
当时在卢旺达有联合国维和部队指挥官达雷尔不断向联合国总部发出警报
Willing to take the lead and intervene
要求授权采取行动
The United States also recently experienced a disastrous defeat in Somalia
但安理会被大国的政治考量拖住
To ensure that the right to not be arbitrarily deprived of assets in Africa is not violated
没有任何常任理事国愿意主导干预。
However, the negative attitude of major powers has actually paralyzed the Security Council.
美国也刚刚经历了索马里的惨败。
This case tells us that
不想再趟非洲的浑水。没有否决权被明确使用。
The issue of veto
但大国的消极态度让安理会实际上陷入了瘫痪。
Sometimes it's not about how it's used.
这个案例告诉我们
The key is its existence itself.
否决权的问题。
Let major powers evade responsibility by not making statements.
有时候不在于它被使用。
Another dimension worth mentioning is the relationship between the veto power and reform.
而在于它的存在本身。
It requires the approval of 2/3 of the member states to amend the UN Charter.
让大国可以用不表态来规避责任。
And it must be approved by all 5 prominent members of the Security Council.
还有一个维度值得拿出来说一说，否决权和改革的关系。
That is to say...
修改联合国宪章需要2/3的成员国批准。
To abolish or restrict the veto power,
并且要五大常任理事国全部同意。
The countries that have the power to veto must agree to give up that power.
也就是说
，You can imagine
废除或限制否决权。
How difficult is this?
需要拥有否决权的国家自己同意放弃否决权。
Even said it's completely impossible.
你可以想象。
This is why the debate over reform of the veto power has never stopped for decades.
这有多难。
But the fundamental changes have never happened.
甚至说完全不可能。
One.
这就是为什么。几十年来关于否决权改革的讨论从未停止。
Regarding the issue of veto,
但实质性的改变却从未发生。
So, Bain, has the international community proposed any alternative solutions?
既然否决权问题这么大，
Yes.
国际社会有没有提出过替代方案？
Moreover, there are many more that are representative.
有。
In 2013, France proposed an initiative in response to large-scale incidents.
而且不止一个。最有代表性的是
For example, genocide.
法国在2013年提出的倡议，在发生大规模暴行
In the case of crimes against humanity.
比如种族灭绝。
The 5 permanent members have voluntarily pledged not to use their veto power.
反人类罪的情况下。
This initiative has already been supported by over 100 countries.
五大常任理事国自愿承诺不使用否决权。
But he had a key question.
这个倡议目前已经获得了100多个国家的支持。
He is voluntary.
但他有一个关键的问题。
Not legally binding.
他是自愿的。
When a major power truly faces an issue that concerns its own interests,
没有法律约束力。
How much restriction can be imposed on voluntary commitments?
当一个大国真正面对涉及自身利益的议题时，
Another direction is to expand the number of Security Council seats.
自愿承诺又能有多大约束力？
Make more countries permanent members.
另一个方向是扩大安理会的席位。
At the same time, use this opportunity to rediscuss the rules of veto.
让更多国家成为常任理事国。
Germany.
同时用这个机会同心讨论否决权规则。
Japan,
德国
India,
日本
Brazil has long been known as a land of sacrifice.
印度
They are the foremost active countries in seeking a permanent seat.
巴西长期以来被称为祭祀。
However, this approach also encountered structural obstacles.
是争取常任席位最积极的四个国家。
None of the existing permanent members have sufficient motivation to support it.
但这个方向同样遇到了结构性障碍。
Can lose your own power.
任何现有的常任理事国都没有充分的动力支持。
So, look at all the reform plans.
把自己手中的权力稀释掉。
Ultimately, they all face the same challenge, the power to initiate reform.
所以你看，所有的改革方案
to be in the hands of the people who least need reform.
最终都面对同一道墙。改革的启动权
We say that this is not a political satire.
掌握在最不需要改革的人手里。
This is the inherent logic of system design.
我们说这些并不是一种政治讽刺。
In this final episode of this series, we will focus on the United Nations reform, returning to the original question.
这是制度设计的内在逻辑。
Is the veto a lock or an insurance?
我们在这个系列的最后一集会专门深入聊一聊联合国改革这件事。回到最开始的问题。
I think the answer to this question depends on your perspective.
否决权是一把锁还是一道保险？
If you are a small country,
我觉得这个问题的答案取决于你站在哪个角度看。
You might think it's an unfair lock.
如果你是一个小国，
Five countries' interests have overshadowed everyone else's.
你可能会觉得它是一把不公平的锁。
But if you are a big country,
五个国家的利益压过了所有人的声音。
You might think it's a necessary precaution.
但如果你是一个大国，
Without him,
你可能会觉得它是一道必要的保险。
You won't give up your safety and sovereignty to a majority vote mechanism that you can't control.
没有它。
If you are a negotiator in 1945,
你不会把自己的安全和主权交给一个你无法控制的多数票机制。
You might think he's a pain.
如果你是一个1945年的谈判者，
However, the practical choices in the world at that time,
你可能会觉得他是一个痛苦。
This is the only way to get the most countries to sit at the same table.
但务实的选择，在当时的世界里，
And if you are an ordinary person today,
这是让最多国家愿意坐进同一个机构里的唯一方式。
Trying to understand the world.
而如果你是一个今天的普通人，
Why did it become like this today?
试图理解这个世界。
I think the most useful perspective is that the veto power is a mirror.
为什么长成今天这个样子？
It reveals the true face of power distribution in international politics.
我觉得最有用的视角应该是这个角度。否决权是一面镜子。
The satisfaction with the veto
它照出的是国际政治里权力分配的真实面貌。
This is essentially a dissatisfaction with the distribution of power itself.
对否决权的不满。
Changing the veto power requires first changing this power structure.
本质上是对这个权力分配本身的不满。
And the change in the power structure has never been achieved by modifying the rules.
改变否决权需要先改变这个权力格局。
That means that just talking won't work.
而权力格局的改变从来不是靠修改规则完成的。
It might be time to take action.
也就是说
In more formal terms,
动动嘴是做不了什么的。
It is achieved through history.
可能需要动手了。
Okay.
换一个更书面点的话来说，
Let's stop here for now.
它是靠历史来完成的。
Finally, I leave one question for everyone.
好。
The French proposal said,
今天先聊到这里。
When large-scale atrocities occur,
最后还是留一个问题给大家。
The five permanent members should voluntarily relinquish their veto power.
法国的倡议说
Sounds reasonable.
在发生大规模暴行的时候
But how much is the word voluntary worth in international politics?
五大常任理事国应该自愿放弃使用否决权。
If you are a representative of one of the five permanent members,
听起来很合理。
When your ally is caught in a crisis,
但自愿这两个字在国际政治里值多少钱？
Will you keep this promise?
如果你是五大常任理事国之一的代表，
Welcome everyone to leave your thoughts in the comment section.
面对一场你的盟友卷入其中的危机
See you next time.
你会兑现这个承诺吗？欢迎大家在留言区留下你的想法。我们下集见。